Thank you, Brother Rod, and thank you, Brother Don and Sister Linda. Well, we have this evening the Vesper service. The Akron Brethren has set aside this time for us to rejoice and praise our Heavenly Father with singing and some poems and giving thanks to Him. Now, we chose, but we didn't choose, the Akron Ecclesia chose the theme text from Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord, be strong, and let thy heart take courage, wait on the Lord. And story about this particular text. About a month ago when I started preparing for this Vesper service, I took the program, ran into the kitchen where Sister Sally is, and I said, you won't believe it. Look at the text, Psalms 27:14. And now here's why. We had an opportunity to serve some of our brethren in third. Thank you, Brother Rod. And thank you, Brother Don and Sister Linda. Well, we have this evening the Vesper service. The Akron Brethren has set aside this time for us to rejoice and praise our Heavenly Father with singing and some poems and giving thanks to Him. Now, we chose, but we didn't choose, the Akron Ecclesia chose the theme text from Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord, be strong, and let thy heart take courage, wait on the Lord. And I'm going to give you a little interesting story about this particular text. About a month ago when I started preparing for this Vesper service, I took the program, ran into the kitchen where Sister Sally is, and I said, you won't believe it. Look at the text, Psalms 27:14. And now here's why. We had an opportunity to serve some of our brethren in the ecclesia, and we were, about that time, we just finished up the fourth volume. So we were trying to decide what the Lord would have us prepare for this course. And we thought, well, we received such a blessing from the fourth volume that we should give it on the manifestation of Christ, or God's kingdom. So we started going through the notes and putting things on paper. And, you know, it's important when you put a discourse together to make sure it flows. Otherwise, it won't be understood, and the lesson that is to be brought out. And it just wasn't flowing. Nothing was clicking. And then Sister Rosemary came to visit us a month or two later, and we were sitting in the kitchen and fellowshipping, and I told her about the difficulty I was having. And about the next day or two, we sat down for breakfast again, and we happened to get on the subject of the Lord's will. And so as we were sharing our experiences relative to the Lord's will, where in many times we've noted that we ran ahead of the Lord, we were, after about an hour, she said, you know what, you just gave a mini discourse, why don't you do it on that? And I thought, ooh, maybe that's the Lord's will. So I went to the computer, and I'm not really computer literate, but I typed in, it was more like this, what would thou have us to do? So I hit enter, and nothing came up. So I thought, well, I'll shorten a little bit. And I put, would have us to do. So I typed that, and up on the screen pops a comment from, it was reprint 5711, and I was trying to think of the comment. Oh, the comment was, not a ministering to the Lord, but a patient waiting, a watching and waiting until we learn what our Lord would have us to do. So we looked up the reprint reference and found that the comment was made relative to Psalms 27:14, waiting on the Lord. And so that's why when we saw that this was the theme text, we thought how well it fit with our previous study. And so we appreciated the Akron Brethren for providing this text for us for consideration. Waiting on the Lord and being of good courage to strengthen our heart and wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, we've had a wonderful discourse by Brother Ed this morning on what this tells us, and found that it tells us that the key to knowing what the Lord's will is, or in other words, what the Lord would have us to do, is to wait patiently on Him, not to run ahead of Him, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. From Proverbs 3, 4, or 5 and 6, rather. So at that point, we knew what our Lord had intended for us to speak on. But in our fellowship with Sister Rosemary, we were looking over our past, and many of the brethren had similar experiences where you feel that you have to make a decision. You're at that fork in the road, and I think it was brought out, do we turn left or do we turn right? And you know, in this day and age when there's so many demands on our time, everybody wants more out of you. So you're in this mode of got to make a decision. Okay, we're right here. Let's look at the three best possibilities and go. And yet with the new creature, it's the complete opposite. And I think it was brought out this morning that you wait. You stop and wait patiently for the Lord to direct the path. So we really appreciated that lesson. And some of our experiences, I mean, it took several years, especially these job-related experiences, where you make a decision, you think, well, I thought sure that I was following the Lord's will. And yet, when you look back, you can see how the Lord is looking down on you and saying, Ed, you're just not getting it. But he says, if you want to make a decision, you go right ahead and do that. And sure enough, there was the lesson there. He let us do that, and that's where we learn, and that's how we learn to wait on the Lord. And so we really appreciated that. And what we'd like to do this evening is to extend the lessons that we learned from Brother Ed this morning on our theme text and look at some songs, some hymns, and some poems. Actually, a lot of the hymns that we have were poems and then put to music. And some of those we're going to have read to us this evening also. So in keeping with our convention theme, we'd like to continue these thoughts. First, what I wanted to bring into this Vesper service was our recent manna from November 23rd. I just couldn't help, after reading that, think of how well that fit our convention here. I'd like to read that for you. The text is taken from Hebrews 10:36, which reads, "Ye have need of patience, cheerful endurance, constancy, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Now the comment says, here we see that it is not merely to do the will of God that is the test, but that after having attained to that point, that mark of character in our hearts, in our wills, if only partially in the flesh, we should, by patient endurance, establish God's righteous will as the law of our hearts, the rule of life under all circumstances and conditions. Then, and not until then, will we be in heart condition of fitness for the kingdom. The Apostle James says, "The trying of your faith worketh patience," patient endurance. That is to say, if our faith stand the trial, it will work this character of patient endurance. Of course, on the other hand, if we don't attain to patient endurance, it will mean that our faith has not stood the test satisfactorily, that we are not fit for the kingdom. Now, the comments were taken from reprint 2792, section 1. So we'd like to begin with the singing of hymn number 313. It's Wait on the Lord, and it illustrates to us the comfort and strength we receive by our waiting on the Lord. So let us all turn to hymn 313. It's the same in the red and the blue book. And sing together, Wait on the Lord. Wait my soul upon the Lord, to his gracious promise flee. Further to what Brother Ed brought to us from Psalms 37 this morning, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's in Psalms 37, 23, and 24. All the way my Savior leads me was the expression of gratitude to God after a direct answer to prayer. This is reported that one day Fanny Crosby desperately needed $5 and didn't know where she could obtain it. As was her custom, she began to pray about this matter. Within a few minutes, a stranger appeared at her door with just the right amount. I have no way of accounting for this, she wrote, except to believe that God, in answer to my prayer, put into the heart of this good man to bring the money. My first thought was, it is so wonderful the way the Lord leads me. I immediately wrote the poem, and Dr. Lowry set it to music. The hymn first appeared in a Sunday school collection, Brightest and Best, compiled by William H. Doan and Robert Lowry in 1875. Fanny Jane Crosby was born of humble parents in southeast New York on March 24, 1823. She was blinded at the age of 6 weeks by improper medical treatment. Throughout her lifetime, she was a faithful member of the St. John Methodist Episcopal Church in New York City. She was educated at the New York School for the Blind. From 1847 to 1858, she served as a teacher at this school. In 1858, she married a blind musician, Alexander Van Alstyne, a highly respected teacher of music at the blind institution. Her early verse writing was primarily of the secular nature. One of her popular songs, Rosalie the Prairie Flower, brought her almost $3,000 in royalties, a considerable amount for that day. Through the influence of a well-known church musician, W.B. Bradley, she began in her early 40s to write gospel songs, lyrics, in earnest, and became the happiest creature in all the land. It is said that Fanny Crosby never wrote a hymn text without first kneeling in earnest prayer and asking for divine guidance. She was also characterized by the little American flag that she always carried along with her in her Bible. Fanny J. Crosby also authored Blessed Assurance, another of our favorite hymns. And this information I've taken from the books 101 Hymns and 101 More Hymns. And she wrote in her lifetime over 8,000 poems. 8,000 poems. And a minister came up to her and said that I don't know if this is exactly the way he said it, but he said that it was a shame that she was born with such a talent to write poetry. Why the Lord would take have her born blind? And her response was, she actually chided this minister, and she said to him, "Do you know that if I had one wish or one prayer to make to my father, it would be that I would be born blind." That was because when she, the first sight would be her master. Very touching, obviously. So she was quite a poet, and she had several hymns that we sing, and we would like to sing one of those at this time, and that is All the Way My Savior Leads Me. It's hymn number 12 in both the red and the blue.
Thank you.
I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide. You know, prayer is such an important part of our spiritual life. It's a privilege for us to be able to commune with our Heavenly Father, to thank Him for His care and His blessing upon us and our loved ones, to come to Him in a time of need and know He's always there. There's a beautiful poem entitled "An Ever-Present Help." It's been put to music and found on page 298 in our hymnal. But instead of singing it tonight, we thought that it'd be best to focus on just the words themselves. And for that, we've asked Sister Ruth Kovaleski to come forward and read for us "An Ever-Present Help."
An ever-present help. Those who seek the throne of grace, and that throne is in every place. If we live a life of prayer, God is present everywhere. In our sickness, in our health, in our want, or in our wealth, we look to God in prayer. God is present everywhere. When our earthly comforts fail, when the foes of life prevail, tis the time for earnest prayer. God is present everywhere. When my soul in every strait to thy Father come and wait, He will always hear thy prayer. Thou shalt have His tender care.
Thank you, Sister Ruth. Thou shalt have His tender care, and haven't we all experienced that? Another beautiful hymn that illustrates to us the care and comfort we find in God is one entitled "Rest in God," hymn number 99. We'd like to all turn to hymn number 99 and sing, but more importantly, take to heart these comforting words as we sing. Hymn number 99, "Rest in God." Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon Thee, for Thou wilt answer me. Psalms 86, 6 and 7. "I need Thee every hour" was written out of the daily experiences of a busy housewife and mother, Annie Hawks, in the year 1872. Annie Sherwood Hawks was born in Hoosick, New York, in May 28, 1835. At a very early age, she displayed a gift for writing verse, and by the age of 14 was contributing poetry regularly to various newspapers. In all, she wrote more than 400 poems, though this hymn text is the only one still in common usage. In 1859, Annie Sherwood married Charles Hawks and 3 children were born into their home. For much of her life, she lived in Brooklyn, New York, and was a member of the Hanson Place Baptist Church, where for 8 years, Dr. Robert Lowry himself, a prominent gospel poet and musician, was her pastor. Mr. Lowry recognized Mrs. Hawk's poetic gifts and encouraged her to use these abilities in writing hymn text. Annie Hawks has left the following account regarding the writing of her one immortal hymn. One day, as a young wife and mother of 37 years of age, I was busy with my regular housework task during a bright June morning in 1872. Suddenly, I became filled with a sense of nearness to the Master, and I began to wonder how anyone could ever live without him, either in joy or in pain. Then the words were ushered into my mind, and these thoughts took full possession of me. I need thee every hour. 16 years after writing her hymn, Mrs. Hawks experienced the death of her husband, which she has written, cast a shadow of great loss over my life. Mrs. Hawks has left this account regarding the spiritual help she received from her own hymn during this very difficult period in her life. She wrote, "I didn't understand at first why this hymn had touched the great throbbing heart of humanity. It was not until long years after, when the shadow fell over my way, the shadow of a great loss, that I understood something of the comforting power in the words which I had been permitted to give out to others in my hour of sweet serenity and peace." We'd like to have for us, we have a group singing for us that are going to come forward, if they would please, and sing for us, "I Need Thee Every Hour." Thank you, dear ones. The words of that hymn and the harmony, it's like listening to the angels sing. Beautiful. Our Father knows what our needs are, both temporal and spiritual. And we know that whatever those are, He will provide. We've asked Sister Becky Pearson to come forward and read to us, "The Lord will provide." And again, we want to focus on the words. This is from hymn number 301, but again, we'll just listen to the words as Sister Becky will read for us.
The Lord will provide, though troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide, the promise assures us, the Lord will provide. The birds without barn, our storehouses are fed. From them let us learn to trust for our bread. His saints, what is fitting, shall never be denied. So long 'tis written, the Lord will provide. When Satan appears to stop up our path and fills us with fear, we triumph by faith. He cannot take from us, though oft he has tried, the heart cheer and promise, the Lord will provide. He tells us we're weak, our hope is in vain, the good that we seek will never obtain. But when such suggestions our graces have tried, he answers all questions. This answers all questions, the Lord will provide. No strength of our own, no goodness we claim, our trust is all thrown on Jesus' dear name. In this our strong tower, for safety we hide, the Lord is our power, the Lord will provide. When life sinks apace and death is in view, the words of His grace shall comfort us through. Not fearing, not doubting, with Christ on our side, we're sure to die feeling the Lord will provide.
Thank you, Sister Becky. The promise assures us the Lord will provide. Now we'd like to turn to hymn 121, entitled "The Lord Will Provide," and sing that hymn together. 121.
Yeah.
I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16, 7 through 9 and 11. Just as our Lord often taught profound spiritual truths with earthly associations, so many of our fine hymns have been written with symbolic imagery that makes them more readily understood. There are hymns that speak of soldiers, pilgrims, shepherds, sheep, precious jewels, and many other relationships in life that are meaningful to us. Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me was written especially for sailors in language they well knew, charts, compasses, and the absolute need for a competent pilot to guide their craft over the tempestuous seas. This hymn text was written by an American Presbyterian minister named Edward Hopper and was first published in the year 1871. Hopper was born in New York City on February 17, 1818. His father was a merchant and his mother a descendant of the Huguenots, the persecuted French Protestant reformers. In 1870, he began the most fruitful phases of his ministry when he became became a pastor of a small church in the New York Harbor area, known as the Church of Sea and Land. Here he ministered effectively for the remaining years of his life to the many sailors who made their way to and from their ships. It was while ministering at this sailor's mission in New York City that Edward Hopper wrote this hymn text, especially for the spiritual needs of these seafaring men. The theme of this hymn text was suggested by the gospel account recorded in Matthew 8:23-27, where Jesus calmed the raging sea of Galilee, and in so doing quieted the fears of his disciples. Hopper wrote the hymn anonymously, as he did all of his works, and for the first time, no one ever knew that the pastor of the sailors was also the author of the sailors' favorite hymn. This was typical of Hopper's humble, gentle spirit in all that he did for God. The poem first appeared in the Sailors' Magazine in 1871. In 1880, a special anniversary celebration for the Seaman's Friend Society was held in New York City, and Edward Hopper was asked to write a new hymn for the occasion, but instead he read Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me, which had already become quite widely known in its inclusion in various hymnal publications. For the first time, the secret of Hopper's authorship of this hymn text became known. Though this is the only hymn that Hopper has written that is still in common usage, it can be said of him, as can of many other hymn writers, happy is the man who can produce one song which the world will keep on singing after its author has still passed away. In 1888, at the age of 70, Edward Hopper's prayer, expressed in the third stanza of his own hymn, had its fulfillment. He was found sitting in his study chair, pencil in hand, writing a new poem on the subject of heaven. This tribute was paid to him at his funeral. Quote, suddenly the gentle, affectionate spirit of Edward Hopper entered the heavenly port as he had requested, safely piloted by the never-failing friend Jesus, whose divine voice, in the words of the author's own text, was still tenderly whispering to him, fear not, I will pilot thee. We'd like to have Brother Jim McCrugan come forward and sing for us, Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me. Yeah, I know.
Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves around me roll, hiding rocks and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. As a mother stills her child, thou canst touch the ocean wild. Boisterous waves obey thy will. When thou sayest to them, be still. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. When at last I near the shore, and the fearful breakers roar, twixt me and the peaceful rest, then while leaning on thy breast, may I hear thee say to me, fear not, I will pilot thee.
Thank you, Brother Jim. There was a movie out recently called The Perfect Storm. And I think of that in our Christian walk. our storms are perfect because the intent is to develop our characters and all things work together for good. Thank you, Brother Jim. Another poem put to music entitled God's Omnipotence is of a tremendous source of comfort. We know that in troubles small and in troubles great, we're often referred to Romans 8:28. This hymn, God's Omnipotence, found on page 293 of our hymnal, illustrates to us God's omnipresent omnipotence, or power to care for those he loves. And we've asked Sister Marguerite Cameronis to come forward and read for us this poem entitled God's Omnipotence.
God's omnipotence. There is an eye that never sleeps beneath the wing of night. There is an ear that never shuts when sink the beams of light. There is an arm that never tires when human strength gives way. There is a love that never fails when earthly loves decay. O weary souls with cares oppressed, trust in his loving might, whose eye is over all thy ways through all thy weary night, whose ears open to thy cry, whose grace is full and free, whose comfort is forever nigh, whate'er their sorrows be. Draw near to him in prayer and praise, rely on his sure word, acknowledge him in all thy ways, thy faithful, loving Lord.
Thank you, Sister Marguerite. When the storms of life are raging, our first response should be to seek a place of refuge in the shadow of God's hand. Here no harm will find us, for in his hand he will hide us. We like to turn to hymn number 328 and all sing, He Will Hide Me. We finished, or in our six-volume study, last Sunday we ended on page 420 and with that particular study on judgment and about to go into the study on baptism. Well, if you remember, right at the end of that study on judgment, there's a poem that we thought fit very well with this theme. It's "The Lord Knoweth," and it's taken from 2 Peter 2:9. And it begins with a partial quote of a text in Isaiah 12:2, which reads, "I will trust and not be afraid." We'd like to read verses 2 through 5 of Isaiah 12. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. And as we have done this evening, verse 5, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. We'd like to have Sister Rachel Bushless come forward and read to us that poem on page 420 of the sixth volume, entitled, The Lord Knoweth How.
The Lord knoweth how. The storm clouds are rolling across the horizon, and peal upon peal of the thunder is heard. The flashes of lightning are vivid and awful, yet never a fear in this bosom is stirred. For is it not written and everywhere shown, the Lord knoweth how to deliver his own? The gleam of the sword can be seen in the distance, the moans of the wounded and dying we hear, and warfare and bloodshed are growing more rampant. But none of these things can awaken a fear. For is it not written and everywhere shown, the Lord knoweth how to deliver his own? The foe we contend with is awful and cunning, and many indeed are the snares he has laid. We are not unmindful of Satan's devices, though of his temptations we are not afraid. For is it not written and everywhere shown, the Lord knoweth how to deliver his own? The Lord knoweth how, though we often are puzzled, and to our conceptions no pathway is clear. But since we are guided by infinite wisdom, the word he hath spoken forbids every fear. For is it not written and everywhere shown, the Lord knoweth how to deliver his own? The Lord knoweth how is our strength in our weakness, the promise of sunshine though storm clouds appear, a peaceful assurance amid every battle, the way of escape from every trial and fear. For is it not written and everywhere shown, the Lord knoweth how to deliver his own?
Thank you, Sister Rachel. Well, we've come to the end of our Vesper service this evening. We'd like to thank all the brethren for raising their voices to our Heavenly Father in praise and thanksgiving for all his love and care over each of us for our highest spiritual welfare. And may the Lord add his blessing and bless our fellowship to follow. And we also would like to thank the Akron Brethren for this wonderful theme they provided for us at this convention and the discourses that vein through that. Thank you.